Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do to you. Just when I utter the word, I love you. What a little moonlight can do. Wait a while till a little moonbeam comes peeping through. You get more, you can't resist him, and all you say when you have kissed him is, ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
The Consciousness Shift. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Glenn.
I thought that was an apropos song, something in its day that was called Very Hip.
It's quite snappy. It's a snapper.
It's a snapper. Well, we are in some lunar time. We really are. I mean, we're going through the astrology that the Astro Flash that has been posted all week long. And we do have a caller in from the...
Oh, it might be Diane, 617. She was just calling.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Cool.
I saw the Massive Chiefs hats area code. I know that one. And,
yeah.
Hi, Diane. So let me open her mic up.
Oh, she just really wanted to listen, but you can go ahead and say hi.
Yeah, that's okay. Diane, you can just listen. If you feel like contributing, you go ahead and do it. The lunar phase, the solar lunar phase, we've gone through several of these in the last 10 years, and, of course, we realize that that's all about ushering in a brand new great year on the astronomical cycle, going out of Pisces into Aquarius. But the topic that we're on today, just before another blood moon to come up, is the visit from Rome of the Pope Francis. They call him Papa Francesco, and I like Whoopi Goldberg's name for him, Franny. I think that's pretty good.
Me too.
Yeah. He's making an impression.
Yeah. The young folks like him.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he's making an impression for the last year and how long. I've watched, increasingly stunned by his tact, what he has to say, and the changes that he's initiating in the Vatican, which I pay attention to because, well, I'm a cradle Catholic, but I'm not a you know, hey, this is Gwen now. I was thinking, I got to tell you before I forget about this, I was thinking that he makes such a wonderful symbol for patriarchy on the planet, because his primary message, especially to his priests and brothers in the church is, and ancestors, is one of being the pastor, the shepherd. And he exemplifies it or demonstrates it constantly with his reach into the people. I mean, this guy's got no fear of going over and kissing a child or an elderly person, anyone reaching for him for his blessing. He gives it unconditionally. And I've seen him in the past year do things that could obviously have been a PR space, but he honestly and sincerely, I mean, I watched the film of him washing the men's feet and putting his blessing on them for healing. I mean, this is what we do. We're healers. We're about healing. That's the first thing you say if anybody says to you, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a healer. And then you go into whatever your self-descriptive ego trip is, and I'm the first to do it. I think we all are. We all love being individuals. And that's another point. This Pope is embracing the individual. Did you hear his message to the atheists? He says, well, that's okay too, and will you please just give me your good wishes? You know? Did I lose everybody?
No, I'm just, one of the effects that this Pope seems to have is like you feel the love and the light so strongly just by a little story like that. And you had told me that story a little earlier, and you get a moment of verklempt, you know? You're a little like,
beautiful. Pretty wonderful, really. And the other thing is that, well, you know, I was getting a little lunch before this, and I was in the kitchen, and all of a sudden in my mind, because I'm thinking, well, here he is, a beautiful symbol for patriarchy on this planet, and putting it into the pastoral, real fatherly existence, the perfect consort for the lady, in my opinion, and the only lady I would ever put up as a human example that comes to mind, not that I would ever, there's plenty, but the one that comes to my mind so swiftly is the Lady of Circle Sanctuary, Selena Fox. She is, to me, one of the best representations of the lady, the goddess, and the mother on the planet right now. Her work at Circle Sanctuary, her demeanor, her kindness, her open arms to anyone, they fit right alongside of that. And I thought, wow, that's a real power couple there, you know? But
The feeling. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, just since we're learning to be guided by our heart chakra and center and really feeling beyond the words, beyond the physical presentation, beyond we can have prejudices, we can have thoughts about what's the feeling, that people give, and what's the feeling when we hear and see and watch what they do, and when they're consistent with this love and light, like Pope Francis clearly is. I mean, you know, I watch through the lines. I like to watch just as much the ceremony, but also afterwards. And he's walking around. What does his face do? How does he deal with this person that we know is like this? How does he deal with this person that, who knows, but it has a big smile for him? You know, so watching all of that, and you can feel it. You can feel that he walks in peace. He walks in peace, and he's surrounded by such light that...
Yeah, he is. He's, well, I'll tell you, I think personally that part of that is that he asks everyone to pray for him. And that's pretty smart thinking, because he's getting poured so much light, and that is much more light he can give out. And he knows it. He's a practitioner. These priests know how to practice. They work with visualizations and smudging. And, I mean, that's another thing he's done here. He's reminded people of the joy in ritual. The singing, the praying, the wishing the community well together, being together and doing that. That's what we do with ceremony, whether it's just one of us or it's a bunch of us getting together online like we do here with ceremonies on air at different seasonal junctures. It's very apparent that that the act of ritual and the act of celebrating life and the continuity of life within the dynamics of eternity is basically what all people of any faith do. And he's bringing that to the attention of millions of Americans right now. And don't kid yourself, man. People are amazed and transfixed a lot, too, because of the mechanics of it. St. Patrick's Cathedral and the cathedral he performed Mass in today, they're both geometrically sacred sites, and they've used sacred geometry to build the place. I mean, they aren't ignorant to all the tools we work with as far as Merkaba and all of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they've built sacred sites. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so palpable, like you said. Like, he asks people to pray for him, which is also a humility, an act of humility, as well as being so televised and looked at, and then going to these places with the sacred geometry that only magnifies the light that's there. And then it reflects in all of us, the light that we have
in
us. You know, we feel a kinship to his spirit, and we go, oh, you know, how many people would want to walk in to Congress or the UN and say, listen, people, once again, about peace, not war, but put it beautifully, but still put it to them. And, you know, it's like it's just incredible.
He does it with a gentleness and a kindness. I'll be interested to hear what he has to say on immigration this evening from Independence Hall. I was explaining to one of my co-hosts for Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show, Jack Jodell, who's also a cradle Catholic and still is a Catholic. I was explaining to him that, you know, because he thinks, wow, this is really incredible. And I said, well, you know, in my community, among my tribe, what he's doing is he's walking with the Christ consciousness, and he's awakening people to it as he does it.
Yeah. Yep. That's the ticket, Jack, for sure.
Yeah. And who expected it? I certainly didn't. I expected.
Well, the prophecies did. They didn't quite say Christ consciousness, right? But they said whoever the seers were of age, you know, said that he would come, and here he is, right? I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to do with that information, but.
I don't particularly look at him as someone out of prophecy any more than I look at all of us here and now as something of prophecy. But I do say this about the fellow. He's walking with Christ consciousness, and everywhere he goes, he awakens Christ consciousness, or that resonance that he brings into a space. And you've seen it in your own life, and I've seen it in mine. When we reach out to people with kindness and honesty, if anybody is sitting in the room who can't handle it or who doesn't have that to give back, gets uncomfortable, gets irritated, you follow what I'm saying. We saw it in Congress, we'll see it, but not overwhelmingly so. And I would bring up the fact that another cradle Catholic who still practices is the soon-to-be ex-Speaker of the House, John Boehner. And when they showed Papa Francesco on the balcony of the Capitol building with Vice President Biden and Speaker Boehner, Speaker Boehner had a handkerchief in his hand. He was openly weeping, looking over at Biden with a look like, don't you dare give me any shit. And I think if anyone in D.C. today has any heart for Boehner, it's Joe Biden, you know? Because I think probably Biden could tell what was going on. And this is what I think it was. I think that the Pope's presence and his effect on Boehner was that Boehner was ashamed, was ashamed, because he knows he's on the wrong side of humanity. And he was openly weeping. And though the truth is that he was being maneuvered out of his position and probably given all kinds of ultimatums with threats by other congressional people in that enclave there, I think that he had finally, I mean, it was like it all the bile came up. And when the Pope embraced him, he was ashamed. I really think so.
So the light does, doesn't it? When there's a lot of light there and you're too close, and you've been comfortable in your darkness, something happens.
It's true.
And if there's a little opening for the love to come in and something attaches to some sort of love that's still in you, then, the outside rumbles, doesn't it? And that's what you see. I mean, what a beautiful thing, really, to be caught on camera like that. You know, that healing at the end of the day can happen to anyone, spontaneously.
You know, I don't hold great hope that he's going to become the new...
Well, he knows what he does with it, right.
but in his own personal life and sitting alone, sitting alone with his own heart, I wouldn't want Mr. Boehner's heart right now. I really...
Yeah, right.
That would be so heavy because... The pressure and stress of being one of America's top leaders. I mean, can you step into his shoes for just a moment and understand the awareness you would have, and not all of them do, but I certainly think Boehner does, the awareness of how many people's lives you affect by the choices you make, and knowing certain things that you do that have been absolute darkness, and making those choices, and then having someone like Papa embrace you and then ask you to pray for him. Oh my God.
I'm
surprised. I mean, that would be a thunderclap of immense proportions. And Mr. Boehner faces an opportunity right now for real evolution, you know?
Yes.
And his first thing was, I'm out of here. That was his first reaction was, I'm gone.
Well, I mean, action taken in the direction, totally different direction. I mean, maybe we should address this. They're sort of calling to me to say this, that with the talk about the Pope and all of the energy that's being spread around the East Coast right now.
Yeah.
This light coming to the darkness, we all in this place, in this reality, have some darkness, and the Pope does too. You know, no one's excluded. It's part of the understanding, right? But for some of us, we hold darkness and we think that it's defined us, or we still feel bad about things that we've done a long time ago. With this light coming through, it's coming to light, and to be able to forgive yourself for those things, let
yeah.
alone being Boehner, who all of a sudden has this, oh my God, what have I done? You know, a rush of real
yeah.
negative. That's huge, and it takes courage to not back away from that and continue to go into the light. Does it hurt?
Yeah, agreed. And it's the transformation that the whole planet has to make. And that's
exactly.
our evolution right now, in a nutshell, really.
Yep.
That's what's going on. And but this fellow, I watched, like I said, I watched for a year, and I thought, well, it could be an elaborate PR show, and then it got less and less that way. And then watching him walk into Congress and watching his facial expressions and the time he took to correctly pronounce words and address the Congress in our language.
Well, there can be no mistake.
I was stunned. I was overcome. I was hooting and hollering for him. I was really, and then it was like the freaking gates opened, and you know me. I'm like, I've had on a crying jag here and there, but it's been for joy for most part, really.
Yeah.
See the kindness and the gentleness of this man. And I really do think, and of course, I want to think that, oh, yeah. I mean, the most important thing we ever do is remember to act in kindness and be kind, you know? Those are the real moments in our lives. And here's this guy going, and to watch the people respond to him the way they do is just wow. I mean, wow. I find myself now every time I see him on the television or the computer here, I'm white lightning. I am white lightning.
I mean, I'm surprised at myself too. I feel the same. I'm just sitting here shaking my head.
I mean,
for the audience, I'm not a Catholic. I don't, you know, it has nothing to do with that.
It's like I'm the iPhone and I'm plugging myself in to Pope Francis, you know. It's like
right. When he drove by outside, I put on Gregorian chants for him. I was like, what would he like to be escorted to? and I blasted it, you know. It was a very quite an experience, you know. So I feel like, listen, he's a symbol. He's a symbol for all of us. And it's awakening something in us that we know is possible. You know, Jesus showed it was possible. Think what you want about Jesus being a real person or a concept or whatever. The concept is the same, and we identify with it. Which is, what if we could really love each other and we could really actually be peaceful? What does that really look like and feel like? And I think that's what we're waking up to here.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like, listen, I've walked into rooms and sat down with people who have auras just as resonant. I mean, I've sat in a room with Deepak Chopra. When he gave a small lecture on his on the book he was promoting in the bookstore there, and his energy and resonance is particularly is one of hope, and it's one of intellectual engagement, which I myself appreciate incredibly. And that's another thing. The first sign of intelligence in the human being is kindness.
It's humor. No, kindness. I was going to say humor. You can't be funny, at least in a positive way, without some love and light in there.
It's kindness. It is. Now, I mean, that's Freud. That's Jung. That's Jungian psychology. And it's really true. It's ignorance that promotes the darkness, and the damaging self-pity, self-involvement. It's, you know, that's all fear stuff. And that's the other thing. The people who are so anchored in fear in that Congress, who are so committed to war, when he said that the only reason for war was the pursuit of money that's drenched in blood, I applauded him openly. It said it. And I think he meant those words to be as weighty as they were. Of course, there's been the people who are against him. I mean, on one side of the street, you've got these people, these D.C. people, who call themselves leaders, who are backing people like this Kim Davis broad down in, is it Kentucky or Texas, wherever the hell she's at. I got sick of it.
Good.
And on that side of the street, they call that Christianity. And you have a lot of politicians who use her as a tool to anchor their own agendas, and in before them walks a man like Pope Francis and addresses them in kindness and intelligence and with recrimination in putting it to them that war is as bad as it is, that immigration is what their ancestors were when they came here to build this country, the land of the free, the home of the brave, yada, yada. I mean, when you consider that, the reflections of that, the polarities of dark and light are getting crisper and clearer and more choosable, if you ask me, right now.
Yeah, that's the effect of the light, is it shows everything. So it's going to be very clear. And apparently this is this great divide that some have spoken of that will come. Like, what's it called? Not divide, split, the great split. Where if you're still clinging, you know, tooth and nail to that sinking cement brick of hatred and fear, eventually, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say, right? It's just about having the courage to release the fear, right? That's what it all comes down to.
And one by one. Go ahead.
Well, one by one, and in ourselves, you know, even if we're not clinging to a cement block of fear, there's still more to be able to lift up. And a lot of times as light workers, we feel the fear of the world and it attaches to any little fear in us and we help to heal that. So no matter where you are on the scale of fear, it's helpful to shine light and love and say, thank you, fear. Thank you for sharing. And that's the end of it. You know, we just keep moving.
Well, I've learned as a Celt, and also from my medicine teachers and from teachers of all cultures, that basically it's all about us. It's about what we choose. And it's about our own will to face whatever the darkness is and to rebuke it, because nobody can do it for you. Nobody can. you can have a counselor, you can have a friend or a companion that is, you know, pretty balanced and a very nice reflecting board or whatever, but when the moment comes, what do you stand for? That's what it's about, and that's why these polarities are becoming so strikingly apparent. And with all great shifts, all great evolutionary steps in society, these polarities arise again and again. They rumble and build, and then something will come along that makes the divide plain. And historically, we've had these kinds of moments all along for thousands of years. And I know in our tribe, we have thought that there is a moment coming when this isn't, it becomes an absolutism. But the truth is that it's always been, from my point of view, it's always been about realizing that we come to points where something has to give. And this time, the most important thing, and this is one of Pope Francis's largest projects right now, is to bring to the point of awareness that we're going to be extinct. We're killing our home, our environment. And it's this culture of patriarchal war and profiteering, and all for the few and none for the many. He's also very much about giving to the poor and getting the money out of the hands of the few. That makes him some really mighty enemies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's extraordinary. His favorite saying is go out and make trouble. He's a rebel. Yes. Exactly. He's saying make the change happen. So he's one of the radicals. He's one of the Klan, man. And
yeah. Well, we forget that Christ consciousness is a rebel consciousness. I mean,
yeah,
we're still trying to figure out Christ's words now. I mean, imagine 2,000 years ago, people were like, the what now? I'm doing the what with my cheek, you know? I'm turning what, you know? Rebel.
Well, and he brings up all of the major truths that the best of humanity has walked with, and I don't think it was any mistake that he brought the golden rule up to Congress of the United States. I said, yeah, baby, and harm none, and harm none. Because that's what it means we declare ourselves our confine. Many of the ladies I work with will call ourselves witches. People are indoctrinated into covens, all of this. Oh, my sister has her own right here in the back, and I'll tell you what. The last 3 months, Murphy and I joined her her new moon and full moon and solstice equinox celebrations here, and it makes a difference because when you get together even with a few people and you share a moment of goodness and good wishes and alignment with the earth, it makes a difference in your life. I've always known that. I mean, I went to Keurig every Sunday. I just didn't care for the concepts they had, you know?
But it's true. You can do it anywhere. I mean, Diane and I do that. Diane sits by the fire pit. She's in Massachusetts. And we talk on the phone and we have a little ceremony. So you don't have to be right next to each other. Just chatting with your friend and giving a minute to some love and light, whatever, some peacefulness, some joy, whatever. It adds it to the light pot. You know, it's great.
I sound like
such a hippie. But it's the truth, man. Don't let them fool you that, it's so hippie. That's actually the truth.
Yeah, well, here's the thing I was going to say today, too. I made a little note. Basically, everywhere along the streets and stuff, especially in Philly today, it looks to me like hippie festivals going on.
I mean, love looks like love, man. You can't help it.
People are sitting around singing Kumbaya, man.
Because it is. It is about Kumbaya. Love your brother, dude. Come on, man.
And then you got your friends who go, oh, come on. And it's like, what is wrong?
Right.
What could be wrong with feeling the joy? What could be wrong with wanting peace? What could be wrong with standing beside someone who, even though politics may get in the way here and there, still, you think their open heart is good and kind? What could be wrong? Because we need to sit down with one another. That ceremony he had at Ground Zero, very impressive. It was like one of ours, you know?
The round table.
Yes, and it was, you know, wow. Thank you, Papa. That was good stuff. That was actually, you had me going.
Oh, you're telling me. I'm three blocks away. I just felt like my seat was a little farther than the audience on the television. But, you know, I was facing him, lining myself up as best I could, and just went into visualization. So I feel like I was there. He drove right past me. I mean, so I was like, well, of course you're feeling all these emotions, Nicole. I mean, living near this place, which is all about healing the pain, healing the war, healing the anger, you know. So, and he gave his blessing for, really, in my opinion, gave the World Trade Center its identity right now. It's a place of peace and healing.
I agree with you on that. But I'll tell you, ever since those planes hit those towers, it's been a sacred site.
Absolutely. And I moved down here 6 months after. So it's always been about healing for me, healing the neighborhood, healing the vibe, you know, just goodness, keep the light. So, all these emotions. I can just imagine what other people are feeling. Maybe they're a little confused as to why they're feeling so emotional, let alone the fact that we're sandwiched in between two eclipses. I mean, the second is happening somewhere today, right? And then we've got this full moon in Aries that's all about new thing, new action.
I think the full moon eclipse is tomorrow night.
Okay. Sunday, right. And then Monday, full moon. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a huge moon.
I only say that because that's when my sister has ceremony slated, is tomorrow night.
Well, there you go. The witch's calendar. I'm sure she's got it right.
Yeah, she don't screw up with that stuff. She's in teaching mode too. But it's incredible. And I got to tell you something else. It's been a pleasure to go over to MSNBC or CNN and see. I'll tell you what I've noticed. You know, journalists express on their faces what they're covering. You can see we've grown so used to the dour expressions. But I'll tell you somebody I've always paid attention to because I respect is Christiane Amanpour. And I've seen her report from the streets of bombed cities in Palestine and Afghanistan and seen tragedy on her face. Of course, she was succinct. Reporting the facts, but she was also reporting the emotions, and the emotions were on her face always within, you know, around. I have watched her since Thursday or Wednesday, whenever. I guess it was Thursday when the Pope was in Congress. I have watched her face beam larger and larger with a smile that just doesn't go away.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Reporting also the vibe, right? The vibe, the emotion, the feeling here as I see it, as I show it.
I mean, she is really, she gets serious when, like, just before the show, they had a lady on who was part of the Survivor Network of victims by the priests and all, the sex abuse stuff. And she was serious then, but the moment that the cameras flashed back to the Pope or something that was replaying what he had done earlier or whatever, that beaming smile came back up on her face. I think that says a lot. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure to see news in the last few days because it's been dominated by the Pope. It's been joyful.
Yeah, after they, whatever live, I think, whatever channel I watched, they were saying after the Pope's ceremony down here, they were saying, I felt the same way about what that was like. Wow, this is, they're really moved. He was like, I don't even know what to say right now. That was one of the most moving experiences I've ever, like, I feel lucky to have heard that. Like, I don't know what to say right now. And, you know, they don't really sound like that, the, you know, two reporting live, the anchors. And it was a man and a woman, and they both kind of went back and forth. And then they started to get a little too into the, you know, America, we need healing. You're like, okay, can we start saying global already, people? Like, it's not just us. It's not just anyone anymore. Like, can we fix the lingo? But before that, the emotion, it was a good sign, you know, a pop-up of some actual real people. Do we need talking heads anymore? Maybe that's the next journalism that I would, that would actually get me to start wanting to watch the news, because I've been news-free for at least 5 years now, you know. So
yeah,
I would come back if it actually had some feeling and some real personality, like Jon Stewart. You know, the only news, I would go to him for news before I'd go to anyone else because he's a real person.
I have to say this. I'm not real pleased with the replacement for Dave Letterman. I don't like Stephen Colbert as my, because I don't watch, I didn't watch Leno. I watch Kimmel now and then, but, you know, hey, listen, it's TV. You got to remember when they're covering things though that are wonderful. It's really nice, you know. You feel like I was telling you when they were showing. I felt like I was there at the ceremony at Ground Zero, and I found myself white lighting the Pope. And now every time I see him, I white light him. You know, I mean,
it's a knee jerk reaction. Right, white light this man, white light. That's great.
Also,
I mean,
it's also about my wishes for his safety and his continued longevity. Gosh, if I don't think I've ever said this except with a few exceptions, like, you know, family, but long live him. Long live him. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he asked, pray for me. And this is the whole idea. It reminds me, I have to say it, Gwen, coming out. It reminds me of a Doctor Who episode where the doctor is in a cage and aged, and he's this tiny little man. And the only thing that saved him is Martha Jones goes around the world and tells the story of the doctor. And then everybody at the exact same moment just thinks of the doctor and love for the doctor. And the doctor, you know, has so much energy that
is
he
that
restores himself. Yes.
Right. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And what can be wrong with this kind of goodness and kindness? I'll say that again. I'll say it to anyone who poo-poos me or says, oh, you're buying the bubble gum. You're buying the propaganda. No, and he's not perfect. He has not addressed satisfactorily many things. He did not satisfactorily address the wrongness in canonizing the man who did so much to so many indigenous people by stripping them of their culture and land. He did not do this. He did not. Yeah. But, however, what he has done weighs so wonderfully on us that we have to accept the joy there is there right now. I don't think this is a, you've got to remember, he's the head of a state and there are politics involved. I don't know what kind of, and anybody who brings Dorothy Day up and gives her this kind of let's face it, it's a Catholic honor. But he's on my good side list as a radical, as a liberal.
And him being not necessarily quote unquote perfect helps the rest of us also to realize that it's really never about perfection. If we wait until we're perfect, we're never going to get in the ring. We have to go forward with as much love and light as we possibly can muster at any day that works and is comfortable and joyful, and the rest will just come along. I mean, we can't be worried about being perfect, and we can't do everything all at once. Like, that's a big message for us. We cannot. Obama can't do it, the Pope can't do it, and we can't do it in our own life. And that's a good thing, because honestly, like Abraham always says, do we want it all right now? Do we really want everything to be perfect right now? Doesn't that kind of spoil the game a little bit? Don't you want to savor out? Do you want to eat every one of your favorite meals in one sitting? No.
No, like, but we
savor
do want
them one at a time.
We do want, I will say this, I will make an exception to that. I would be all right. I would be fine. I'd be overjoyed even if we could heal an issue in a moment. Yes, I would. If we could hear,
but I don't know that the understanding comes so well when it happens in an instant. You're like, oh, that worked. And that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, we're
it's
gone?
True.
That's it?
It's true.
Well, so now what?
It's true. It's true. You're right. It is about the journey. It is about the journey. But people have moments. You know, Deepak will remind you that they're peak moments. Their peak events in your life. The church would call it a personal miracle.
When it does happen in an instant. Yeah.
Yeah, I call it initiation. It happens, and if we could have an aha moment instead of a moment to keep railing at it, you know. I would be okay with that. If we had a collective peak experience, I'd be okay with that. I really would. And the thing is that many of us think that ascension is just that. It's a collective peak experience. Well, our lives tell us that collective peak experiences they're possible, but they haven't happened. So
there you go. Absolutely. I love it because it's oneness oriented here, because really there does have to be some sort of shifting point where it's like the collective unconscious getting to a certain level of light. Once we get to a certain level of light, it becomes something else. So you're right to come to the moment where we go, okay, how about, as far as politics go, to the best of our ability, we all go towards peace instead of war. Like, if that moment can happen, it won't all happen at once, but a shift.
Well,
that's where the
shifting numbers come in. It only takes so much of a percentage of a society to actually make the judgment and say no or say yes towards whatever purpose. and the rest of society falls in line. It's like the 4,400, you know.
Right.
If we have this many, and it really does stem from biblical myth. If you have this many that are faithful, the rest are given a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
right.
That's how societies do change. There is a paradigm shift going on. There really is. It's just going in so many different directions, and the polarities right now are just so stark. We've got the worst of the worst, but we've also got the best of the best. So it's personal. It's the personal journey that counts.
Very well said. You're right. It is the shift. I mean, it seems like we've been in this time of, is it happening? What's happening? And if you're a believer, you're like, yeah, man, it's happening. You just can't see them. And people are like, well, I'm not so sure. But now even those people, at least around in my life, are going, well, you know, there may be something to this shifting, changing thing. And maybe because this happened and this unbelievably happened and that also. So, yeah, maybe. So that's, you know, it goes no, maybe, yes, right? That's the scale.
Yeah.
So we'll take a maybe right now. And like you said, the other side is the stark contrast. I mean, my session that I did just before the show was all about that, of how when you start to really walk in the light and clear out enough in yourself so you can hear your own guidance, not overreact, stand in love and light, at least to a good extent. And then you start seeing these other people that kind of freak out in front of you. And so I think for us to be vigilant with this and to use Pope Francis's walking into the Congress or any other example of, you know, what can happen when the light meets, when the dark meets the light and maybe doesn't want to change quite that second just because you're standing here. You know, to still give compassion as light workers instead of going, whoa, why is this person fighting me? Which, of course, you're going to think, but to move through that quickly and go, okay, you know,
well,
where's the love and light in this situation?
I hear you. I do aim for that. Certainly while I'm sitting as Gwen at the bench, I do that. As Gwen, the activist, though, or the commentator here and there or whatever, I do have to watch myself because I, I'm still ready for the fight. It has to change. You have to go out there and change people's minds, but there's ways and ways of doing it. Always a pacifist, always looking for the healing. Still, it's, like you said, part of the journey to face the darkness, and that
mm-hmm.
means the darkness within, too. And perhaps I save a little bit of that darkness inside myself so I recognize what I'm looking for. And I'm able to stand up to it, you know?
It's a world of inclusion. That's the big word, buzzword, inclusion. So that means also embracing, you know, the dark. We don't like to sleep in full light. The darkness has its purpose as well. You know, it has so many connotations when you say the dark in someone or the dark in me. But it doesn't necessarily have to be this awful, evil thing. It's
no,
the other side.
No, it doesn't. It's balance. It's always about balance.
Yeah.
And
right.
We're in a time
moon.
Of that. There is the thing about the blood moon. And the connotation too often put to it is one of superstition, if you ask me. But it does historically signal a time of change. It's biblical representation is in the book of Joel, second chapter, 30th verse, when it says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." and it's the signal of apocalypse. But basically, it's about great change about to take place. And in order for change to take place, something has to fall and something has to rise. It doesn't have to be the good falling and the bad rising. It doesn't have to be fear-based. It can be all about beautiful transformation. And it's just people changing their minds.
What we're focused on, the perspective and where we choose to live, to put our thoughts and put our emotions, then that's the momentum, right?
I think
I didn't realize it was so biblical.
Yeah, it is. You can find a lot of astro flash in the Old Testament, honey. Let's not forget Enoch. we're at the top of the hour, and I've actually got a cool thing to play from your end of the lineup over here. I see something to put on. I'd like to remind everybody that we have a guest on, Professor Hillman, tomorrow at 6 p.m. on the Sunday show. We'll be talking about the upcoming election. He is one of those predictor chaps who has been right on the money for the last several election cycles. And he's going to speak with us. And on Monday, we have Spirit Therapy.
Yes, I'll talk something about this full red blood moon in Aries.
and see what shakes out, huh? What's shaking
exactly.
out?
Exactly. I mean, we're not there yet, so I can't tell you because I haven't seen it yet.
I'd like to remind everybody that these shows are sponsored by SpiritTherapyNYC.com and DaughtersOfIsis.com. Come on by and see what we've got to offer over at Daughters of Isis. You'll find the traditional representations of culture in scent and sensuality and subtle sensuality. And you can find Nicole and her practice and all the stuff she has to offer, and Zion and Diane and everybody at SpiritTherapyNYC.com. Yes?
Yes. Excellent. Wow.
So,
well, I wish everyone a beautiful and wonderful full moon experience. And words of the wise with the Aries. I just want to say, on the one hand, it's new, it's action, it's go forth, trailblaze, but it's also the god of war. So to make peace within yourself is really the only way that you can actually make peace outside and not get too ruffled. So it seems that might be a good meditation for people over the next couple of days. To find the peace and walk the peace a little easier, a little happier.
There you go. Thank
you
for listening.
Godspeed.
I want to thank everybody for listening in. This has been the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini in New York and myself, Gwen Berry. I'm down in South Florida. And we've been enjoying Papa Francesco and the energy that he's brought to America. And that would be the end of the show. We'll see you next Saturday. Thank you for listening in.
And let's do the song.
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah, I was going to play some off. Yeah, 60 seconds worth.
Don't you know you're talking about a revolution now? Don't you know you're talking about a revolution now? While they're standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know they're talking about a revolution? It's time.